Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Aberdeen is in northeastern South Dakota in the James River Valley. It's home to Storybook Land and a Northern State University, among other things. In 1974, in case you didn't know, the first Super 8 motel opened here, and its room rates were $8.88. The city has changed just a bit over the years. Mike Leveson has been mayor of Aberdeen since 2004. Now, nearly 30,000 people call Hub City home, and he joins us today from the Tom and Danielle Ammon Foundation studio on the campus of Northern State. Mayor Leveson, welcome to In the Moment. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
You have been mayor of Aberdeen since 2004, and this is the first time you and I have talked on this show.
I've done some things for public radio and always enjoyed it, but nice to join you.
Well, now we have a nice little studio there at Northern State, so hopefully we'll hear more from you in the future.
Any day, I'm available.
All right. Let's talk about heading into a new year in Aberdeen. There's a growth plan. There's all sorts of things happening in the city. Where do you want to begin as far as what the city's vision looks like today?
Well, I guess one place I would begin for your listeners around the state to ask them if they knew what the biggest capitalized project in the history of South Dakota non-government project is. And probably not very many of them know it's going to open here in Aberdeen in June.
And what is it? Go ahead and let us know.
The AGP soybean plant that's being built here is by a considerable margin has the biggest price tag of any private enterprise project in the history of South Dakota. It is huge, well up into nine figures. It's going to just be a great thing for our soybean producers in this area and for South Dakota in general. And we're really looking forward to getting that open here in June. That's the biggest thing going on in Aberdeen right now.
Give us an idea of how long that something like that has really been in the works.
It was, I believe, 2 years ago in this past November, so it's been, I think, 26 months since we made the announcement, and the work started right away. It'll be 2 years this spring that the work started, and it's on 300 acres northeast of Aberdeen, and every day you go by, it looks like there's another building or another structure put up, and the railroad siding will be done here this spring, and we're pretty excited about it.
All right. Tell us a little bit about the operations of the plant and how many people it might employ, that sort of thing.
It's not going to be a place that employs an awful lot of people. It's highly mechanized. It'll be 60 or so, I'm told, many of whom will be advanced degree people. You'll need engineers and biologists and so forth to run the plant. So the biggest thing that it'll be as an advantage for Aberdeen will not be to bring in a lot more people, but it really is to help the producers in our area. And we really thrive on the health of Ipswich and Groton and Britton and Faulkton and Redfield, the towns and the farmers and producers around the area. And if they do well, we do well.
So help me get my mind around this. So then those farmers and producers bring their soybeans to the plant for what? Tell us exactly what happens inside the doors.
The plant will produce soybean oil and soybean meal. The soybean meal will be fed locally to livestock. The soybean oil was, we understood, originally contracted to go to China. But politics has gotten in the way of that. But I understand they have found other markets for it. So the oil will be shipped out by train. All of the grain will come in by trucks, which will present some concerns and some challenges for us. Hundreds and hundreds of trucks bringing loads of soybeans in, hundreds of millions of bushels of soybeans will be coming into the city to be processed. So,
interesting. All right. So you mentioned politics, and you know, let's talk a little bit about, you're the mayor of a city, but yet to get an organization like this to come to the city, you need support from state government to handle the tariffs and trade and the economic health of the region. And you need partnerships with federal government or for certain things to come out of Washington. Talk a little bit about your job and how it intersects with a new governor in peer, new legislative leadership, and a government shutdown. That's a big question. So we'll lop that off a little bit at a time and talk about state government first, please.
Well, obviously, the state government has a hand in this in that they do some tax forgiveness on the sales tax for some of the construction, as we did locally. They'd also deal with permitting. It did take quite a while relating to the federal to get all of the permits done. We had great assistance from the Office of Economic Development and Governor Dugard, and really appreciate that. And as much as anything, it went back to the Development Corp in Aberdeen, purchased 300 acres of land back in the mid-1990s and did the infrastructure for it. So when AGP was in a position to look for a site to locate this plant, we were ready and waiting, and it was a big advantage for us.
Not going to be, because it has a sort of smaller footprint when it comes to human resources, not going to have some of the same challenges of workforce development that other industries might have. Talk a little bit about that, though, when it with Northern State there in Aberdeen, and as you look at growing a community, inviting businesses in. Yeah. What are some of the workforce challenges, and how are you addressing them?
Well, our workforce challenges are related to demographics all over the state of South Dakota. And this is something that we always tried to convey to, since I've been mayor here, to Governor Rounds, to Governor Dugard, and we'll certainly carry that on with Governor Noem, in that we understand that the birth rate of native-born South Dakotans simply does not replace the people who graduate from high school and decide to move elsewhere, or who pass away or move away. The only way we can keep up population-wise and employee-wise is if we are welcoming and accommodating to newcomers coming to this area. And inevitably, that is going to be, to a large degree, immigrants and refugees and people of minorities. So regardless of how people in the legislature feel personally about immigrants, and we know there is an antipathy among a segment of the legislature for any immigrants, regardless of how they feel, it is self-evidently in our own interest that we have to find a way to accommodate immigrants and newcomers coming to our cities in order to maintain our growth.
So what we're hearing from the rhetoric in Washington and in state government as well is this concern about national security, public safety. Tell us a little bit about how you have seen newcomers and public safety sort of play out in the city of Aberdeen. What's it really like in an American city?
I am just really proud and really pleased with the way it's been handled here. We have a significant number of refugees from South Asia and from East Africa who are here primarily in our fiberglass plant and in our beef processing plant. And also, we have had more and more Hispanic immigrants, particularly in our construction trades. And, you know, we went from probably when I was mayor, I would say the minority population of Aberdeen was probably in the 5% area, somewhere in there, and we've significantly grown from that, and I think we've handled it really well. You know, there is a persistent lie in the country that immigrants bring more crime, and there's just a mountain of evidence that immigrants have a significantly lower crime rate than do native-born Americans. And we've seen that here in Aberdeen, despite the attempts by some to classify immigrants as criminals, there's been no effect on crime in Aberdeen whatsoever, and that's borne out by statistics all over the country. And it's a hard lie to fight against because it's a lie that appeals to people's emotions and to people's politics in a lot of ways. But our experience here is contrary to that, and it just validates what we hear from all around the country.
Tell us a little bit about Northern State and how that community is poised to sort of handle some of the education challenges, the economic, the price of college challenges, you know, recruiting kids to stay in the state or come from out of state to receive their education there. Talk a little bit about Northern, if you would.
Well, I went to Northern 50 years ago, met my wife here, and we were both education majors, and it prominently was an education teacher-producing institution at that time, and it's moved on from that and still is has a big role in that, but business is a big part of that here, and a brand new, I think, $25 or $30 million math and science building, primarily science building, is being built now, and so we're getting more students in that area. We're in the middle of a $100 million campaign at Northern to upgrade, and everybody's pretty excited about it, and the enrollment figures are strong. Again, it's a demographic challenge because the high school classes in the area are smaller and smaller, and that's all over the state in smaller towns. So we have to attract people from out of state, and we have hundreds of students, particularly from Korea and China and around Asia, that have really been a boost to the university. So it's a really exciting time. Not very much was done in the way of capital improvements for 20 or 30 years here in Aberdeen. In fact, there wasn't a major dormitory built here on the campus since I was here 50 years ago. And three have been built now in the last 2 years. And there's going to be building an on-campus stadium. The South Dakota School for the Blind and Visually Impaired is building a brand new home right on campus to work with campus. It's really an exciting time for Northern.
What do you think some of the challenges are for Aberdeen in 2019? What are some of those ongoing things that, just have to be dealt with from a city government standpoint?
Well, we have one of the challenges that almost all the cities in South Dakota have. A lot of the cities in South Dakota are of the age where the pipes that were put underneath the streets when these cities were built are now wearing out. And that's a huge expense for cities our size, particularly all over. And, we're in the process of working on that. Another big challenge for us is the low price of farm commodities. Right. It was really, really easy being mayor of Aberdeen in 2004 when I got elected, because every year we were having just huge increases in sales tax figures because farmers were doing so well. But we don't have those same $8-$9 a bushel corn anymore, and that's a challenge and a challenge for governments all over South Dakota. The other challenge I mentioned is the demographic challenge. The birth rates of native South Dakotans simply do not keep up with the need to keep growing our population. So we have to keep doing the things that attract people to come and live here.
Tell me a little bit, before I let you go, about your arts community.
Aberdeen is unique among all of the cities in the United States between 20 and 30,000. Aberdeen is the only one where you have to drive 200 miles to get to a bigger city. And in some ways, that's not an advantage, but in other ways, it's a great advantage. And the great advantage for us is that if you want to participate in theater, or if you want to go to a concert, or if you want to enjoy the arts, we have an obligation here in Aberdeen to have it. We can't force our people in our trade area to have to drive 200 miles to find it. So our local community theater is really a lot stronger than it would typically be for a community this size. Of course, Northern State is Fine Arts is, we think, the best in all of the Dakotas. I'm sure some people in other universities would would disagree, but it is just outstanding for us. And we have a very active arts council here in the city. So it's not an area I have much expertise in, but people tell me we're miles ahead of where a city this size should be.
Yeah, you've been mayor since 2004. Tell us how that city is structured. Are there term limits for you? What's next for you?
No, they're not. It's 3 5-year terms. The first time I was elected, I got 30% of the vote out of 8 candidates and was elected. The second time, there were 4 candidates and I got 43% of the vote. And the third time, nobody ran it against me. I think nobody else wanted the job. I have to decide here between now and a couple, 3 months from now, whether I will run again. If it was today, I would. One of the things I live by is never make a decision until you have to. And I'll decide. I will decide here in a couple of months. And I'll either try to get elected for another 5 years, or if not, or if I change my mind, I'll try to do something else. Nobody's offered me a better job during the time I've been mayor, so I've tended to try to stay here.
Mayor Mike Leveson from Aberdeen joined us from the Tom and Danielle Ammon Foundation studio on the campus of Northern State University in Aberdeen. Mayor, thank you so much for your time. Hope to talk to you again.
You bet. Thank you. And hi to Victoria Wicks. I heard her report. She used to live here. We miss having her here in Aberdeen, your reporter from Rapid.
Yep. And you can find her report on the city of Carpenter and some exciting news there at listen.sdpb.org.